We're in lesson 95 in the book of Ephesians, and we've been talking about some things this morning, about some prayer requests and stuff, and I hope as we go through this and we put on the whole armor of God, it may be able to help us stand on some things. But, you know, in Ephesians chapter 6, you have the whole armor of God. That's what we was talking about last week, we was breaking it down. Verse 11 says, put on what? The whole armor of God. Verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God. The idea of armor is an appreciation of who we are and who. The Lord Jesus Christ, to the details of our life. We can do this in our life. And he is describing the areas of our life and in our ministry that each one of us have, and we need to be careful about it. And especially in those areas where the devil is tricking us. See, as I listen to us talk this morning, the devil is trying to trick us to be non-sufficient in our who we are in Christ. And we get upset the fact that, hey, we can't make this guy listen. Hey, you ain't going to make that guy listen anyway. When you first heard Right Division, did it not go against every grain that you ever been taught? And you're sitting there like, cuckoo, you know? That's what people think. But as we was talking about, the Holy Spirit reveals some things in the Word. If you've got the Spirit of God inside of you, you're searching some things and you can be taught. If you have the Spirit of man inside of you, guess what? You're going to start rejecting some things. Now look, there's six areas where the adversary is going to try to trick you, and that's what we was looking at. And here are the things that the antidote for schemes. You're going to find these six areas that we was talking about. Is six a complete number?
No.
What do you know about six? We looked at six things about...
Number of man.
Number of man. Now, is man complete?
No.
So we can put this armor on, those six things on, but when will you be perfected? When will you be complete? And when, though? Right now, he sees you complete, but do you feel
complete?
When we raptured out of here, okay? That's when we have a complete time. But right now, in this period, the age that we're in, we're imperfect. You know, we're imperfect, but we should be trusting what? A perfect Savior. And when we go out in a rapture, there isn't any more war against us or for us. When we're taken out of here. But the war is right now, guys. What you were sharing today, there's a warfare going on, aren't there? And what you know, we talk about spiritual warfare all the time, and all you know, people want to see us fall and stuff. But the battle is right now. And the impact we gain against the adversary now will have to do with what we're going to be retaining out there in the future. Listen, you ever heard that acronym of the Bible? What's that? B-I-B-L-E? Bible instructions before leaving Earth. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. We have a book that will instruct us how to talk, how to walk, how to think. Okay? We don't need to search for books about books. We have the book if you believe that you have the inherent Word of God. You don't have to go searching no more, but you guess what? There's thousands of Bibles out there, aren't they? And you can find a Bible out there that will suit any doctrine that you want. And that's scary. But it's been going on since the beginning of time. And we won't have to go out there like Israel did in times past and fight and claim the land. Now, when God told them to walk in that, go across that, what is it, Jordan River, right? Into the promised land. All the Hittites and Jebusites and Amazites and all those ites, you know what they were? They were satanic strongholds in the land that God, that Satan know that Israel's going to come and possess through Abraham. See? And when God told them to go in that land, he told them to destroy it. Well, when we're raptured out of here, we won't have to worry about that. Because Jesus Christ, when he comes out of third heaven, comes down through the universe, he cleanses it. Okay? Verse 13. Wherefore, take on unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, what? To stand. Notice the issue of withstanding. When you stand, you get up, don't you? You're not standing, sitting down. So when you stand, you get up. But who withstands? Think about this for a minute. When you get up, I'm standing, right? I'm standing right now. But who withstands?
Who you're standing with.
Well, standing with or?
Christ.
Let me ask you this.
Against Christ's life, that's what I'm
okay, let me ask you this. Does an offense or defense withstand? Very good. Okay. Defense withstands. You're trying to keep the other guy from getting into the territory. You with me? Remember playing King of the Hill? Did you ever did that when you were a kid? Most guys did. Down home, some girls did. And they'd knock you off that hill. They'd blindside you, and next thing you know, like, well, she's King of the Hill. But when you're King of the Hill, you're standing up there, you're withstanding things, right? Down there and below, you're not withstanding. You're the offense. And you're trying to take over things. But look, football, soccer, whatever sport is, they have this. You're getting into that territory. You're withstanding. You don't have to go out and win the victory over sin, guys. You know that, don't you?
Right.
Okay, you with me? You're not on the offense anymore. Okay? You apply the details of your life by faith. You don't have to win the victory over the adversary. Because why? The victory's always already won through who?
Jesus Christ.
Very, very important to know. You're not going out there fighting victories. I'm going to win it for Christ. It's already done in your life. But you have to keep him from dislodging you from the position. This is the key points. This is what we're talking about this morning. The brother here is describing some things about his family members and stuff like that. And he's been warring with this for years. Decades in some cases. But what Satan is trying to do is dislodge him. And it seems like he might be doing a good job. You know? So not take it personally, but hey, he can dislodge any one of us. You have to understand, positionally, he cannot dislodge you. The victory's already won.
Right.
So how are you withstanding? You using scriptures?
Yep. Better be.
You know, you're living your life the way you are? The way God wants you to live? Right? You know, so you got the ammunition. You know that old phrase, praise God and pass the ammunition. You know, the battle's there. You're going to fight. It's practical applications of the truth in your life that you're going to stand on and withstand. The word in the passage that lets Satan whole ball of tricks out of the bag is the word withstand. Anybody can stand up and stand. You know, you see preachers, people all the time doing that, right? They'll stand. They'll stand for their truth. They'll stand for this. You don't have to go on the offense. See? And that's what we're doing, yes, Dan?
I think we need to realize, too, you have to realize that Christ is in us and we are in Him. And as long as you can maintain that thought process there, you know, I think we win, you know.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but we're already in Him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And
you have to realize that's part of the battle that Christ has fought for us. And when He comes to live in us, and we accept Him for who He is and what He did, and we are in Him.
So we no longer have an offense. He's done it for us.
Yeah.
This is where we're getting. So withstanding, some people say it's like a defense term, which it is. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, you have to withstand. And if you are defending, that means you already got it. See, you're defending with family members. You're defending with work, co-workers. You're defending against yourself. So that means you already got it. And we talked about some things. You don't need an offensive armor to stand and withstand. You with me? There's a little difference there. You ever notice, I guess football, what is a primary thing for an offensive group of football players to do on the football team?
Play as a unit.
Play a unit, but what do they usually want to do?
That's take, score, touchdowns.
Not only, that's scoring.
Get the ball back.
Get the ball. Block, or what? Keep the defense off the field. Because if you keep the defense off the field, you're moving the ball. You know, you ever notice that? Defense goes out there and three downs later they're punting, their offense back out there scoring again. So at offense, we got the Word of God. We've got the right doctrine. It tells us things. You need defense armor because Satan, this is what we're talking, stay in the context here. Satan attempts to try to get you to not be who you are in Christ. You know, and through your position in Christ is not reality. It don't mean nothing. Who are you? I use that all the time. Listen, I'm my worst enemy. I'm my worst critic. Sometimes I think, who am I to tell you about Jesus Christ? Because you know why? I'm thinking of my old past. You know, we went to a little gospel scene down there on the ranch, and this guy, I'm telling you, he looked like he'd been through three wars and battled and fought with a goat. He looked, you know, I'm serious. He looked ragged. But he sung like, you know, I mean, he was a professional singer. And his dad was a Church of Christ guy. You know, and the guy, he was at a national thing, and he said, somebody came up to him and said, hey, I got two tapes of your dad. He goes, really? I like to have that. They thought he looked like Don Williams, the country singer Don Williams. They thought that was his dad, Don Williams. But his dad, here's the thing, his dad would play in the honky-tonks. He would play outside, but he would not play in church. If you know Church of Christ, how many instruments do they have in there?
None.
They got a, you know, that's an instrument, but other than that. So what I'm getting at is, he looked battled, torn. But he talked, the songs that he sung, I could relate to. And he sung about who he was in Christ today. And it's not about your appearance. It's not about, but it's who you are standing in Christ. And so always stand in your strong suit, guys. Verse 13, that you're able to stand, be able to withstand in the evil day. Now the evil day is that time when you are being tried, and the wiles of the devil are coming at you. And you got to remember, Satan's got two plans. Plan A and plan B. How many plans you got? You ever thought about that? Well, my house, plan A, sell my house. Plan B is what? Sell the house. But anyway, you got something to follow through, right? But look, the first one he is after, and many of you know this, is to get you to shave the message so you don't stand in that position. People would love nothing more for you to jump off that position that you've been standing for 10 years. Okay? And don't preach the message. Don't you tell me about Jesus Christ, Him dying, burying, and rose again. Don't you tell me about this mystery. You know? Don't you tell me about right division. They try to get you. And don't stand right there where you are. That's what the plan. That's what Satan's trying to do. Don't you stand there. Listen, for 20-some years, 25 years, people have been trying to knock me off this message. Okay? They love me. They hate me. They're my brothers. They're my sisters. They're not my brothers and sisters. Some of those are really trying to attack you too. You know, they miss you in that old denomination. They miss you going out, you know, doing things. What do they miss? The fellowship that could be, you know, that would be the thing we want, right? Hey, you really miss my fellowship, but you won't call me no more. you know, we used to do this, this, this. But since I, you know, changed my mind, changed my directions, he wants you to pay attention to the personalities and pay attention to stories and pay attention to everything but the issue of godly edification. You're talking about music. They like music, don't they? People do. I enjoy music. I like all kinds of music. I really do. I can tolerate some about this much, but I'll still, you know, I like it. I mean, that singer I was telling you about, I mean, I was listening to them songs, and I was tapping my foot, you know. Last night we went to the Comedy Theater, and they had a bluegrass band. They was playing Rocky Top, you know. You know, I'm tapping my toes, because, you know, that's what I grew up with, songs like that, you know. But the thing is, it's just like, the guy kept saying, listen to the words. That's the key, isn't it? You know, don't look at me playing the guitar and stuff like that. Listen to the words that I wrote. And that makes a difference. And that's all what God wants us to do, is listen to his word and take his word in and absorb it and live it. And that's what you're trying to do. And all that's been, just, hey guys, just listen to the words. Believe the words on the page. You don't have to understand it all. Plan B. If he can't get you to do that, he will go after you. So, plan B is to discredit the message by discrediting who? The messenger. In my profession, I deal with a lot of customers. And they get angry sometimes because their product's not on the trailer. And they get upset. And I don't shoot the messenger. I'm just the driver. If there's anything I can do, let me know. I'll make a phone call, that type of thing. But what does he do? He tries to discredit you. And sometimes he's doing a good job, isn't he? I mean, he really is. But you have an armor for both of those plans. And remember, the evil day is a time when you are especially being attacked and tried. Now, when it comes to this point, you must have the groundwork laid already. Many of us may be young in our maturity of the scriptures of right division. You got to watch where you step. There's a rattlesnake den right there. With me? That couple that was here last week and was talking about some things, he's ready to go back and, you know, and go back to church. You know, that type of thing. And I'm listening to what he came out of. And my heart was telling him, be very, very careful. Because even though you want to get back in the church, you got to watch what you're doing. Because guess what? You can get confused, can't you? Especially if you're not grounded in right division. Now, many of us can be grounded in right division and walk in any church and kind of pick some good out of this and good out of that. You know, and you're like, well, that wasn't too bad. He taught Paul today. He read the book of Ephesians. But you go back next week, they could have a den of rattlesnakes in there. You know? Yeah. Yeah, literally. They could have deadly poison. They could have you signing your bank account over to. So you just can't take one day. That's why you study it, guys. But look, when the waters are calm, when life is smooth, and there's no complications, that is when you really got to get busy building up resources in your life. You know, we always talk about putting back for a rainy day, right? Do you do that? Do you still do that? Some people do, right? Some people are like, what is it?
It's already
rained. But what I'm getting at is, you know, you think about that. You're like, many of us don't. Our young kids today wouldn't even know what it means to put back for a rainy day. Because why? Dad and Mom's always there. You know, or it's, oh well. You know, I loved to have that attitude when I was young. Oh well. You know, if it happens, it happens. But look, when it comes to this point, you have to have the groundwork laid. And this is when you want to store up the sound doctrine in your heart. Hey, you can go months at a time and everything just hunky-dory. And then all of a sudden one thing slips and the whole world crumbles. I'm going to share this with you. You know where I'm trying to move to, okay? Well, I work out of Worcester. And Mondays, all our runs in West Virginia area, right down by where we're staying. And I pulled in there Friday, and the supervisor said, "Well, Ed, they're saying that the bills won't be ready till after 6 o'clock during the day." And I'm like, "Okay, well, then I'm going to have to adjust my time here then. Because I'm allowed to work 14 hours a day. And if I start my clock at 6 o'clock in the morning, I got to do my work. I can't sit around for hours and then expect to get home." Okay? So in my flesh and in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm going to find me another job. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Me. You know, that type of thing. And I'm forgetting who I am, the integrity of who I am, that you expect me to work. That's what I signed up to be. But you throw the curveball in my works here. Because before it was 1 o'clock. Then it was 3:30. Now it's 6 o'clock. Now the load wasn't even ready. Okay? So I said, "No problem. I'm going home." Went home. And I text the guy. He says, "I'm coming in at 10 o'clock this morning. I'll have your load ready." I said, "Well, I'll be over at the church." That's why you see me right in a big rig. But the thing is, I calmed down, right? Because when he was telling me this the other day, I had a trainer with me. And I said, "Well," I said, "I'll just jump out right now while the truck's rolling and walk around the truck 2 or 3 times and get back in. I'll call you back." Because you know what? You can do this all day long. But you ever notice it usually works out? If you just calm down, it may just be a little monkey wrench in your deal, but you just calm down and say, "Okay, I'll accept." So even though I had to drive up, I'll get my load today and get home and still have a good night's, you know, rest type of thing. I don't like getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I tell them that, but I usually do it anyway. You know, yeah, usually do it anyway. It just makes for a long day. So these attacks, even in the physical realm, you've got to know where your thinking is. Because I don't want to quit. I don't want to throw 17 years away. I like to make it 19 years so I can get 1 month's vacation. You know what I mean? I really would. You know, I enjoy what I'm doing. There's some days that many of you know you don't like what you're doing some day. Well, yeah, he gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning too.
I'm insane.
But look, but you know what I'm talking about. You got to think about some things. Look, but this evil day, when that boat is rocking and moving around, and you get up and you get a little notebook out and in the back of your pocket and you read what you have been storing up, the doctrine, it makes a difference, don't it? Because you know sometimes Monday morning's coming tomorrow and you walk in that workplace, some of you got jobs that the paperwork is piled. You know, you should have stayed over. And we was talking about this last night about what, you know, these things right here. You can get your emails from work. You can do your, and you're constantly working. My wife goes, "Well, what did our parents do without that stuff?" I said, "Well, honey, I am not going to be home tonight till 9 o'clock. I got to work over." They still worked. They didn't walk out. Some of them, and you get up, "Well, I should have brought that work home with me. I could have knocked that out." So this is the, you're always going to have something throw at you. But look, some people say that the evil day that Paul was talking about right here is that tribulation period. Now, is that going to be an evil day? It's going to be an evil day. And they prove that the body of Christ will go through the tribulation. How many's heard that? How many before?
Halfway through.
Okay, there's a pre-trib. There's a mid-trib. Then there's a post-trib. Okay? And many people has you going through that tribulation period because they're reading verses that say they're going to go through the tribulation period. But look, you are supposed to put, what are we talking about on?
The whole armor.
So that when the tribulation comes, you can stand against the Antichrist. This is what they're saying. Okay? But look, let's get through this a little bit right now. You better know what armor you put on, okay? Where the shoe fits. The evil day in the passage is not the tribulation period. Okay? Verse 13 says, they try to prove that the rapture is the post-tribulation. You need to know these things. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers in the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness where? In high places. Where are those positions and those creatures at in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 we just read?
High places.
We done went through this. Where's the high places at? Talk to me. They're not here on this earth. Where's the spiritual high witnesses at? Where you go? In high places. According to Ephesians chapter 6, this is where this is at. But look at, what's Revelation chapter 12 say? Go to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 talks about they're in high places. They're in the heavens. Okay? Revelation chapter 12, okay, verse 7. Revelation chapter 12. And there was a war where? In heaven. Michael and the angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was there a place found any more where? In heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, and the old serpent called the devil and Satan, and to deceive the whole world. He was cast out into where? The earth. And his angels was what? Cast out with him. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and what? Night. Notice in verse 12. Therefore rejoice ye what? Heavens, and ye that dwell in them. I wonder who that's going to be. Okay? Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time. Now, according to Ephesians chapter 6, and according to what you know of the body of Christ, where are the principalities and powers and mights and rulers of darkness of this world and spiritual weaknesses in Revelation chapter 12? Okay. In the middle of the tribulation, they are no longer in those high places. Okay? They're right here, they're no longer in those high places. The Antichrist, the heavens open up. After we're taken out here, Jesus Christ cleanses the heaven, casts them to earth, the heavens open up, the Antichrist is looking up, seeing what's going on. And he knows his time is short. And he's going to try to convince everybody to war against the devil that's coming down. Because he is God. Satan is. You know what I mean? He is God sitting on that thing. Not God the Creator. But he is God, the five-eyed will. And well, but in Ephesians chapter 6, where does it say they're at? So where does Revelation say they're at? Okay, on the earth, right?
Yes.
Where does Ephesians 6 say they're at? In the tribulation, those things are cast out of the heavens and down the earth. Then it's not Ephesians chapter 6. That's what I'm trying to get at. Not see. So when you start talking about the mark of the beast in Revelation 13 and all those positions and rank authorities that Satan has been holding in the heavens are lost to him. They're no longer up there. They're here on this earth. Now, he's the God of the world. So he does have positions here, right? He's got all that stuff. But look, God takes him out of there and throws him out, and with all his cohorts and comes the earth. Now, right now, he's both places. He's the prince, power of the air, God of this world. And the kingdom is God, God Almighty. Well, let me put it this way. When he casts them out, are they ruling in the heavens anymore?
No.
Who's ruling in the heavens?
Saints.
Saints, but God Almighty is over them, right? Ruling them. And the kingdom of God is up there. Listen, when Apostle Paul talks about the kingdom of God, he's not talking about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is the big picture that takes the prophecy and the mystery program and puts it under God. The kingdom of heaven, you know where you find that at? No, you said the first part. There's only one place they talk about the kingdom of heaven. Yes, Olivia. You know? Okay. But look, it's in the book of Matthew. They pray the kingdom of heaven to come, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay? That's not the kingdom of God.
That's the kingdom.
On earth. Yeah, on earth. You know how the kingdom of God is going to rule up there? Come on now. Talk to me a little bit. There you go. He's going to rule and reign through the body of Christ.
Well, isn't he kind of going to do it with Israel and Christ here on this earth? And he's going to do it with the raptured saints? In the heavenlies.
That's the two programs that he puts back under himself. But there's people that's gone on before us that's saved, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're going to be up there. At the Bema seat of judgment, when it's all said and done, he's going to rapture the dead and cross rise first. You're going to be, if you're here and can see it, you're going to see, they're going to be raptured out of here. And you know something? We talked about some things. If you got spiritual eyes seeing what God can see, don't you see things a little different than you had worldly eyes? Hey, when he blows a trump, I don't think everybody can hear that trump. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Only if you're saved, you're ready, you're listening, waiting for it. Mm-hmm. And you got to admit, there's something, some sounds that comes out of the Bible is like, whoa, that's not good. I don't want to hear it. And then there's some words that comes out of the Bible, so it's like music to your ears. I can relate. But people, when they blows the trump, and I'd use this analogy all the time, guys. In the military, they blow a trump at 5 o'clock to get you out of bed. Okay? You stay in a ready state all day long till taps are blown. That's the last trump of the day. When do you think you heard? And everybody, the Bible talks about when the last trump, okay? You know, a lot of people dwells on that. The last trump is here. Last trump is there. Last trump. Let me ask you this. When did you hear the first trump?
Paul.
Is that?
I would say the first trump was Paul.
What did he tell you? What was he blowing? The trump of God is words. It's voices. It's not a trumpet. It's a trump. And it's words. And what did you hear? What did you hear that made you quick and alive? You heard the gospel of Christ, that he came and died and buried. So you heard a trump. So guess what, guys? You're supposed to be in a ready position right now. Because you ain't heard that last trump yet. But what happens, some of us get complacent. We like what we do. We don't want to be told. We don't want to hear study. We just like to be left alone. But you're supposed to be ready. You with me? Go ahead then.
My son called one night, and he was excited. I could tell he was excited. And it was an overcast night, and there was a tower over behind us. And he says, Dad, he says, you see that? What is that? That light from that tower was being kept down.
Yeah, kept down.
And it was a brighter light. And he thought, man,
We're ready to go.
We're ready. He was excited about it. But look, we're going to be rejoicing and leading creation and rejoicing over what God is doing up there. And he restores the headship and authority over Jesus Christ, with Jesus Christ over the whole creation. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, the evil day is obviously not the tribulation period, because the tribulation in the passage will not be in effect here. It's not going on right now. Paul talks about you going through tribulations. I break that down all the time. It's these Romans 5. Tribulation work is what? Patience, experience, hope. 0 to 20, you're going to have tribulations. 20 to 40, you're going to have patience. 40 to 60, you're going to have experience. 60 to 80, you're going to have hope, and hope don't make us shame. You can break that down in your lives right now, that the age groups that you're at. Some of us is 20 to 40. We got a little patience about us. Remember those days? I do. Got a little patience, got married, you know, got a good job, started settling down. The tribulation still there, but I wasn't worried about it. I've watched some of you guys that's a few years older than I am. There's just a couple of you. But I watch some of you sometimes, you don't let a lot of tribulation bother you. You know what I mean? It's like, oh well, if it happens, it happens. You let the experience that you got take over, and like, That's where you start to, us young ones, that's where we learn from our elders and learn how they do something. And that's what the angelic creation is doing up there, looking over this, and like, that's what grace is about. That's what we talked about last couple of lessons. You better watch how you walk and talk and stuff, because the angelic beings are watching you and learning stuff from you. But look, then what is an evil day? I'm going to hurry up here. Look back in Ephesians 5:16. What is the evil day? Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time, because the days are what?
Evil.
Why in the dispensation of grace called evil?
Most of the world's out there.
Oh, you said what?
The rest of the world's out there, and it is evil.
And what did you say?
Well, I just asked a question. I didn't hear what you said there at the end of the question.
Why is the dispensation of grace called evil?
What? I don't think
that's
the dispensation of grace.
Go to Galatians chapter 1. But he just called it evil day.
No,
the days are evil.
Well, today, every day is evil as long as Satan's.
Okay, that's part of it. Okay, but he is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Galatians chapter 1 verse 4. Who gave himself for our what? Sins, that he might deliver us from this what? Present evil world. You understand the word world? I can't say it. World here. You know what that is?
That's the people.
Satan's kingdom.
World system. The people is the world.
People, system. It's not the green grass. Okay? And a lot of people say, oh, it's the world. No, it's not the green grass. He's talking about the world system. He's talking about his kingdom people. He's talking about the kingdom of this world. The word is age. And the word age is not described here as a time period. He's describing the system that is in effect during this time. It's an evil system out there. Hey, let me ask you something. You go watch ball games on TV. What's usually the sign they hold up in the end zone?
John 3:16.
And what does it say?
Touchdown.
God what?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
That's whoever.
That believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
For God so loved the what?
The world.
Now, if he's talking about the green grass out there and talking about the world, we're in a world shape right now. There's still thorns. There's still deadly snakes. They're still evil people. He's not talking about the earth. He loved a system that he created back before the fall. He loved his people. If you look, if you do a search in there, it's talking about his people, his system. For God loved his people. God loved the system that he set up, that he gave his only begotten son. Okay? A lot of people use that for salvation purposes, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
You know? There's no salvation. There's no blood in that. Well, let me back up a little bit. We talk about the Iron Age, don't we? We talk about the Stone Age. We talk about the Industrial Age and all that stuff. Those are periods of certain things happening, right? This present evil age, it is a evil because the dispensation of grace in which we live in, a time period, what did they do with the Lord Jesus Christ? They crucified him, but what do we call that? What, when you don't like something,
rejection?
Yes. It's a official rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in the dispensation of grace, where everything seems hunky-dory, that we all got liberty to do everything, he is in royal exile. He was rejected by the world system. A lot of people said the Jew killed him. Not. A lot of people said the Roman killed him. A lot of people said you and I killed him. He was rejected by that.
He came unto his own people, though, didn't he? And they rejected him.
Not. So God so loved who? Yes. But it also talks about the Romans crucified him. Listen, I don't care who you think did it. He came to die. He was born to die. And you was not going to stop that. We just read it. We talked about it time and time again. For the princes of this world had known, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. Because why? Now it's affecting the mystery program. They didn't care if you drug them out there and killed them. Because they still was in a heavenly position.
They're going to live there. They had the power to put a stop to it. That's what's scary.
Yeah, well, they could, but once again,
you got to renew. They wouldn't have allowed it.
Well, once again, even if they did not do it, the principalities and powers in high places are still there. See, this is why it's very, very important to understand this mystery program is a lot bigger than what we think it is. And when we start telling people about this, you watch them, they start sinking a little bit. One, I don't know if they're intimidated with what you're saying. Two, I don't know if they're scared to death about it. Or three, there's like, I don't want to know that stuff. I just want to hold hands and sing Kumbaya.
They think we're a cult.
You know?
Well, they're going to point, when the judgment comes, they're going to point to the pastor. He told them.
Yeah, right. But get back to that word cult. You cannot find it in 1828 dictionary, so it's a modern word. And one of the definitions, if you're searching through it, you know what it means? A system of religious worship. Think about that. A system of religious worship.
Sounds like most churches.
There you go. Bingo. I had people point blank say, you're in a cult. And I said, and what church you go to? I'm a Methodist. Oh, well, that's a system of religious worship.
That's right. That's a cult.
You know, that's a cult. All cults is satanic. You're not in an old cult. So I use words like that. You know, when people throw things at me, I want to educate myself to say, okay, I'm going to look up a definition. But look, let me carry on right quick. We are to put the whole armor of God on that we might stand against this evil day, against the time of rejection of Christ, and that is not the only the rejection of Christ of the head, the body, the Christ is the head, but the also rejection of the body of Christ. Listen, people are rejecting you. And it's not the only rejection, and we are to be able to stand against that rejection of truth. And that's hard, isn't it? Come on now, many of you have been down there, you lost loved ones over this stuff. And some of it just throw the towel in and said, I'd be better off be over here. I'd rather have peace over here than, turmoil over here. But you've got to stand. You've got to be mature enough to say, listen, this is who I am. you know, y'all just going to have to love me for who I am. I believe what God's saying, that type of thing. But look, there's cycles. I'm going to close with this right quick. There's always cycles through history. You ever notice that? And Brother Jordan done a wonderful study on the cycles of history. And there's a time when, you know who J.C. O'Hara was? Okay, many of you do. 1920s. He preached from the 20s to the 50s in the time of radio. And, you know, there was a great awakening through the United States, that type of thing, right? And he preached this message of grace. And he started a school in Chicago, Illinois. His plans was to have, you know, thousands of preachers in a school. But he dies. And he didn't get to see the tribulation that affected his school and his ministry. Okay, in the evil day. Because Stamm and Baker, they all divided. They pulled a school up there. They started a school in Grand Rapids. And they're just little things. So we're going to go through some tribulations in the evil day. When everything seems like it's hunky-dory in the ministry, you better watch who's coming knocking at your door. You know what I mean? And you just got to be able to stand in who you are in Christ Jesus. Father, once again, we think about the policies of Satan's evil plan, A and B, that's beginning to affect us. And it has affected many of us. But Lord, I ask that as we think about where we need to stand and withstand in this evil day, that we may be able to understand that when we put the whole armor of God on, we're putting you on us. And what a defense mechanism that defeats everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.